Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
It's Neil Seeley, and I'm an organizer with Arkansas Community Organizations. We're an organization of low to moderate income people in central Arkansas and southeast Arkansas.
All right, and so you have been part of all of the organizing that's been going on to defeat the, whatever they're calling it this week, in the healthcare bill in the Senate, correct?
Yes.
So talk about, first of all, talk about how the bill would, whatever version we're looking at right now, would affect people in Arkansas that you work with.
Okay. Well, Arkansas is one of the few southern states that accepted the Medicaid expansion and did it with some Republican support. The expansion is used to help people buy insurance.
Right.
From private companies, and it actually worked very well. So it cut our uninsured rate by certainly more than 40%.
Mm-hmm.
We had in December about 330,000 people who have their health coverage through the Medicaid expansion. The numbers have dropped. The governor who supports it is trying to limit it, and a number of us are pushing back. This was huge for us as a state. I had been involved with various organizations that have been fighting to expand coverage to low-wage workers for over 20, really about 19, the last 19 years. In the late 90s, Arkansas was one of the first states to expand coverage for children. And so there's a long-standing program, Our Kids First. And our goal back then was to expand it to the parents of children who get Our Kids. But yeah, with Obamacare, that expansion was really beneficial. The bad stuff that's coming down, so that's part of it, would end the Medicaid expansion. Most people in the state who benefit from Obamacare or got coverage from the Affordable Care Act got it through the Medicaid expansion,
mm-hmm.
and a much smaller number through the tax credit premiums, premium tax credits. So losing that will cade in every version that we have seen of repeal and replace would mm-hmm. also be devastating. More than 717,000 Arkansans receive coverage or help with coverage through Medicaid. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of children, seniors, and people with disabilities. And a one-third cut, which is what we've seen over 10 years, would mean either the state pays, ponies up more money,
right.
which is doubtful given the climate right now, or services are cut. And so what repeal and replace will harm and kill many people in Arkansas.
So you've been to D.C., right, with some folks from Arkansas
I helped
as part of protests up there?
Trips.
Yeah.
Martella Johnson actually went to D.C., mm-hmm. and so we went three times.
Yeah.
And it was important for us to send people to D.C. because having folks from Arkansas there, I think, will it finally sway our two senators, I don't know, but I think it's had an effect. It certainly has made Senator Cotton a little more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very, very important to have that presence in D.C.
Yeah, he voted against one of the two options this week, right?
Yeah, he voted against the repeal and replace. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The BCR.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they voted on. I think it was the BCRA. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, we've got to keep the governor, while he's done some bad things, nevertheless has been consistent in saying in his concerns about
mm-hmm.
the bills that he has seen coming from the House and the Senate, and has spoken about how it would harm Arkansas.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
they're not listening to even our governor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from the same party, and that's worrisome. And there's an editorial today in the paper from a former Democratic governor. Many of the medical lobbies have spoken up and have urged both senators to not cut Medicaid and not cut the expansion.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it been like on the ground in Arkansas? Have there also been protests down there at the senators' offices, the House offices,
so
when it was in the House?
We have done several actions at the offices, and they ranged from when the Senate first began voting, we did a lipstick on a pig action where we had created a pig and had the House version of the bill on it and basically said you can't put lipstick on a pig. And we brought it into the offices of both senators and turned in about 1,000 postcards with the pig present. Then we also participated in a four-hour marathon of people cycling in and out of both senators' offices about 2 weeks later. And there have been other actions that other groups have been doing. And we are planning on Monday to do a march and candlelight vigil for Medicaid and Medicare to commemorate the 52nd anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. What are people's concerns that you're talking to on the ground? What are there any stories that really stuck with you that you've heard throughout this?
I think particularly with people who have children with disabilities, there's a huge amount of concern. There's already been some limitation on for people with behavioral disabilities, limiting the amount of therapy. So with a third cut of Medicaid, those services are going to be curtailed, and that will leave a lot of children without the treatment and care therapies that they need, need very badly at an early age. And that's one set of concerns. I think many people with chronic conditions, particularly in the 50 to 65 age range, who got coverage through the Medicaid expansion, will not have the coverage. And so where do they go for medication? There are many, diabetes is a major problem, particularly in a lot of low-income neighborhoods. And one woman who is a type 1 diabetic, she has to get her insulin through a pump,
mm-hmm.
and the pump is very expensive.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't get consistent medication and equipment in the past, her kidneys now are weak. And so she will have to deal with the whole affordability question when she moved from the expansion to the premium tax credit. So whether that that is cut, they're going to have to make decisions.
And so you mentioned the march on Monday, but what's next over the next couple of days? I guess we're talking on Thursday morning. What's the next few days look like?
I think we go out of the community, get people to call, and so we plan to just let both offices with calls. We were pleased to find out 2 nights ago that the both senators' D.C. office voicemail was full and not accepting more, and we're hoping to make sure that happens every night.
Yeah.
And a lot of social media and build for the march on Monday.
So how can people keep up with you and your organization?
They can go to our Facebook page at Arkansas Community Organizations. And they can go to my Facebook page at Neil Seeley. And they can find out the latest and also look at events we have done. And they can call our office, 501-376-7151.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.